glad you're here. If you're not used to me at this hour, it's okay, because I'm not usually up here. Often I'm in that back room. My name's Anthony, if you don't know me. Arlen is typically here. He's the pastor here. But literally, the subject that we're on, we're in the middle of a series called Wallet Wisdom. And apparently, this subject made him literally run for the hills because he's hiking the Appalachian Trail, so he is there. And it's one of those things, we go through our calendar months in advance and we figure out everything. And this week, this particular subject just happened to be the one where he's like, would you look at that? That's the week I'm not going to be here. So yeah, it wasn't planned at all that he wasn't going to be here. But hopefully it'll be okay and be helpful. To those of you who are online, I want to say hello. Usually I'm on the flip side of the camera interacting with you on Facebook. I'm not doing that. Eric's doing a great job, I'm sure, of running everything. So thank you to you, Eric, there and here through the camera, and to all of you who are watching online. I'll talk to you more in just a minute, specifically about something that we're doing. So we're talking about this, wallet wisdom. Why? Well, because it's on the schedule. No, because finances affect every area of our life. And we know this. If you're married, finances affect your marriage. If you have kids, finances affect that part too, because they always want something or money or both, and they will keep doing it, and it can be a stress point. Finances affect your relationship with your kids because they always want something or they want money, and you're like, stop, I've given you all you need, and back away. But that's just the way it goes. It affects every area of our life. If you work, it affects your work relationship because you either feel that you're doing more work than you're paid for, or your boss feels that you're not doing as much work as you're paid for, and that can influence your relationships there too. So if it affects every other relationship we have, it's not a surprise that it also affects our relationship with God, because if God is asking us to do something and we don't have the financial freedom to do it, or we don't feel that we do, it's going to put some pull there. So finances, money in general, is one of the, if not the most talked about subject in Scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Jesus talked about it. We'll talk a little bit of that more later. But that's why we're addressing it, because it's a big deal. So if you missed last week, we started off and Arlen went through a lot of stuff. If you missed that, I'd encourage you to go to our website, lighthousecedarlake.com. You can get the video or the audio. You can get our podcast if you want to do it that way and listen to it. But I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that and really get some basic stuff, because we're going to get into some more new material today. But we are going to look back at one passage that we looked at last week, and it's found in the book of Proverbs. If you're not familiar with Proverbs, Proverbs is a book in the Old Testament about the middle that was compiled and written by King Solomon, the third king of Israel. And he put all these things together, some of it his own wisdom, some that he gleaned from other places. There's a couple of other authors in there as well. And it was a book of wisdom to say, especially to his kids, here's the things that I've learned. Solomon was considered to be the wisest man of his time, and he wanted to pass that wisdom along and say, here are the things that I've learned. You kids need to get this, because we all want to do that as parents, pass the things we know to our kids, whether they're listening or not. So he went through, and at one point, he said in Proverbs 27, he said, know the state of your flocks, and put your heart into caring for your herds. Now, we're not going to go as much in detail as we did last week. Arlen did a great job comparing it to where we are right now. But you have to remember, at this time, Israel was a very agricultural society. You had a spot of land that was usually passed down from your ancestors. That's what you had, and whatever you could grow on it or animals you could raise on it, that was, for the most part, the extent of your net worth. So he's telling his kids and the people who will listen, you need to know what's going on with what you have. Not just know about it, but put your heart into it. You need to be emotionally invested in what you have. It's very important. Why? He goes on to say, for riches don't last forever, and the crown might not be passed to the next generation. Especially speaking as the king, he's saying, look, we know how this goes. If you're familiar with ancient kingdoms, this king got on the wrong side of somebody, he was gone, and either his family was pushed out or wiped out. One of those things would happen. And he's saying, you need to be prepared. Don't just rest on it that I'm the king, I have everything, and I'll take care of you. You need to be aware of what's going on. He continues on. He says, after the hay is harvested and the new crop appears, and the mountain grasses are gathered in, just for them, symbols of time passing when things happen. Next verse, he says, your sheep will provide wool for clothing, and your goats will provide the price of a field. So what you have is going to provide for you now but also be able to set you up in the future. Again, everything was based on the land that they had, so you'd want to get more land, which would make you able to grow more crops or raise more animals, and could be investments in your family's future going forward. And then he wrapped up with that classic verse that, if you were with us last week, you saw, you will have enough goat's milk for yourself, your family, and your servant girls. So I do have to ask, if you were here last week or listened online, how many of you went out and bought goat's milk this week? I didn't either, because that just doesn't even sound good. But apparently, in Solomon's day, this was a big deal. You want to have enough goat's milk on hand? Whatever makes you happy. So here's the thing. We have these verses from Solomon and say, you need to do this. You need to be aware of it. And what can happen a lot of times is you get those good, really good pep talks of, you need to do something. You need to do something. I remember growing up in church, and I'd hear a sermon or a talk from somebody, especially if it was somebody from out of town, and they'd preach hard, or they'd talk and really inspire you. You need to do this. You need to do this. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I need to do it. I felt convicted or challenged or whatever spiritual word you want to put in there. And I'm like, how do I do it? Okay, I'll come back the next time or the next night. And then they say, you need to do this. I'm like, I know you told me that, but how do I do it? That's today. So hopefully, the screams are okay. If you're online, you may not have heard that, but the kids are having fun. So they're in good hands. They're fine. But we need to know not just what to do, but we need to know how to do it. And so if you've been around for a long time, we talk about sermon series as being one long talk that's too long for one Sunday, because nobody wants to be here till 3 p.m. And so we break it up into multiple chunks. Some are very scriptural. There's a lot of Bible. Some of them are very practical. You got the practical day today. So welcome to that, and we're going to try and make it fun. I will ask you one more question, though, before we get started. If you've heard the financial speaker Dave Ramsey, he talks about finances and relationships, and that there's typically two types of people when it comes to money. There are nerds, and there are free spirits. So I'm going to ask a question. If you are a free spirit in this room, will you raise your hand, please? If you are a free spirit. We've got a few. Here's the reason why I asked you. Thank you for raising your hands. You don't ask nerds that question. I know this because I'm a nerd. And nerds sit in the seat and like, why does he want me to raise my hand? What is he going to call me to do? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going up on stage. I'm not going to do that. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to get me to do? So nerds, I'm sorry, that's who we are. That's what we do. So you ask the free spirits and they're like, yeah, raise my hand. Or it's in church, so I think it's okay to raise my hand. But thank you for doing that. So for you, this might be a little bit tougher, although we'll try to keep it interesting and engaging if I'm doing my job, because we can get in some of the details and that's not always fun. Nerds, you're going to be with me because we're detail land. We are officially entering nerd land right now, and we're going to have fun. But to keep us all awake, because it's a Sunday morning, and especially for those of you who are free spirits, before I tell you the good news, I have bad news. We have paperwork. So we're going to pass out some paperwork. I have some helpers that are going to pass out some stuff. But along with the paperwork, I'm going to help you stay awake, because I have some nerds. We have a bunch of nerds. So if you're a nerd, this works out really well for you. But for those of you who are free spirits and you just want to taste the rainbow, we have Skittles. So whatever you want, we have it, and they're going to pass it around. Feel free, if you're a nerd and you want to live crazy and get Skittles, go for it. It's a free country. You can have it. If you're a free spirit, you want nerds to see what it feels like, go for it. And because we might need caffeine too, we're going to pass out Coke Zero, because Jesus. So, well, I mean, you don't need too much sugar. I mean, that would be crazy. So as we get that passed around, just watch for them as they come. Feel free to grab one of either one, grab a Coke Zero, and we'll get some paperwork to you in a minute. Now, I'm going to ignore everybody in the room for a second, because you're sidetracked by candy and Coke Zero and paperwork, and I'm going to talk to you folks who are joining us online. Thank you so much for joining us online. We are glad you're here. I don't have Skittles or nerds virtually to pass out to you, or Coke Zero, but if you're watching at home, you don't need it because you're at home, so maybe take a second and go get something to drink, something to eat, whatever you want to do because you're comfortable or wherever you're at, unless you're driving and listening or somewhere that you can't. But we are giving out paperwork. Now, what we're going to do for you online, it's going to be on the screen. But also, if you go to our website in the next couple days, when this message is uploaded, the talk is uploaded, the video and the audio, there will be an attachment on that page that'll have the paperwork that we're handing out today because we want you to have those tools too, because you matter to us, you're important to us, and I'm sorry I'm not able to interact with you and connect with you online like I normally do on a Sunday morning, but thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you being here too. All right, I think we're getting close. Did anybody not get something that they want? We have paperwork that's coming. Everybody's like, I have Nerds and Coke Zero or Skittles. I don't need paperwork, but yeah, please. So otherwise, I'm not doing my job. So we're going to pass that out. And again, for you online, it's going to be online in the next couple days on our website, and we'll have it on the screen for you to follow along. And for those of you who are with us, you can, same thing I told them, it's going to be on our website. You can download it and follow along later if you forget it behind you, as some people did in the first service, or if you just want it to share with somebody or to hand out. As you get your paperwork, I'm going to ask you to leave it on the side that says John and Jane Doe budget categories. That's the one with the bigger squares. If you could leave it on that side for me for just a minute as we get it passed out, because I don't want you getting ahead of me, because that's not fair. So if you could do that and just hang on that side. If you want to share, there should be enough for everybody. If you want to share, if you want one, just don't make an paper airplane until later. We'll do that. We have extra if we need to. I think we're covered. I think. Anybody didn't get something, please raise your hand. We don't want to miss you. That's why we have such efficient people. They don't miss people. So thank you for doing that. Thank you all of you for your help. I appreciate it. So I just gave the secret away. We're going to talk about budgets. It should be a word that we don't utter that much. But we're going to talk about budgets. And here's the reason. I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't know where your money is, how do you know that you have it? If you don't know where your money is, how do you know that you have it? And you may have had an experience like this. Have you ever gone somewhere and lost your wallet? Or had cash just in your pocket for some reason, and then you reach in there and it's gone? You know that you have money, but you don't know where it is, and therefore you are concerned whether you have it anymore. Or, if I could ask the question this way, if you don't know where your money belongs, how do you make sure it gets there? If you don't know where it belongs, how do you make sure it gets there? Because ultimately, if I can put it this way, budgeting is parenting for your money. If you have kids, you can understand this, because kids always want to go to the playground or to Chuck E. Cheese or whatever they want to do. And it's your job as a parent to say, no, you don't belong here. You belong here. No, you don't belong there. Hey, right here. That's budgeting. That's telling your money where to go. It's parenting your money. And it used to look something like this. When I was a kid, my mom would, she worked for a while, and then after she stopped working when we started homeschooling, one of the things she did was to do the grocery shopping and such for our family. So every time when she got her check from work or the money from my dad when he cashed his check, she would go in her room or wherever she kept it and pull out a manila envelope. And she would open it up, and there were envelopes taped or stapled on the inside. And each one was labeled with what it was, and she'd take the money and split it between everything. And when it was time to go grocery shopping, she'd go to the grocery shopping envelope, she'd pull the money out, and she'd go to the store. And I grew up with this. That's budgeting then. Well, here, how many of you get a lot of cash? Probably a few of you maybe, but most of us, all our money is not in a manila envelope. It's on a little piece of plastic that's in our wallet or in our purse or somewhere or in a hidden place on your phone case or whatever it might be. Or you're really fancy and it's tied to your phone and you like to use it in the store and be really fancy until it doesn't work and then you're just like, pay. Here's $5. So wherever your money is, that's what budgeting is for, and it's come a long way since then. So we want to talk about budgeting and how to do it, because we need to know not just what to do, but how to do it. Time out. This is church, right? Yes. The steeple says yes, and everybody facing one way and singing says yes. So you might be asking yourself, why do I need to budget? Doesn't Jesus tell us to be full of faith and not worry about tomorrow? And just God will take care of us because we have a loving Father that cares for us and wants to provide for our needs. And you are absolutely 100% right. But the same Jesus who says, don't worry about it because your Father knows what you need, also tells the story of saying, if you were to go out and build a tower, you wouldn't just do it before you knew if you had enough money and materials to finish the job. No king would go to war without knowing how many soldiers he has to be ready to win the battle. All of that is the same thing. There's no difference between faith and planning and being a good steward, because it's the things that God has provided for us already that have given us the opportunity to take care of the things that we need to take care of. So this is both sides of the faith and practice together. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to give you one way of budgeting. There are a lot of them. I don't have time. You don't want me to take the time to go through a lot of different budget options. We're going to go through one. This is one that I love because I use it, and so that's why I'm presenting it, because it's the way I like it, and I get to talk, so this is my budgeting. If you have a different way, I'm a nerd, so I would love to hear your budgeting story afterwards, and we'll go through it, and we'll nerd out together when the free spirits have all gone to go do fun stuff outside, because that's what they do. So we're going to go through our budget categories, and again, for you watching online, it'll be on the screen. We're going to start with a very creatively named couple, John and Jane Doe. Our creative budget is very high here. It's just me on today, so that's why you got John and Jane Doe. Their net income is $1,200 per week. Before I lose you on either side that that's way more than you make or way less than you make, this is just for an example, so don't get freaked out or depressed or whatever it is. It's just for the principles of what we're going to talk today. This is kind of a median income. We did some research on median incomes, and that's what we wanted to just kind of get a middle baseline of what we could be looking at. So every week, they get paid $1,200 between the two of them. The first thing they do is they go to giving, and they abide by a principle that is they go 10% of their income is given away. They are Christians because we're in church and it's our example, and so every week they give a tenth of what they have, 1/10% of what they get, and they give it. Now, if you are not a Jesus follower, you don't have to do this because it's your money. Do whatever you want to with it. Now, I would encourage you that you should still give because there are a lot of scientific studies, a lot of things that generous people are happy people. So I would suggest still doing it even though you don't have to. But for those of us who are Jesus followers, this is not an option. Generosity is not an option. It's commanded to us. Now, if you look in the Old Testament, if you look at there's a lot of things, but in the New Testament age, the church, their generosity, this would be like, that's it, but we're not here to talk about percentages or numbers. This is just something easy to go by. So 10% they give away. The next 10% they take and they put in savings for long-term savings. So what they do is they follow a principle that's called the 80-10-10 or 10-10-80 principle. It says you take 10% of your money that you get, you give it away. You take another 10% and you put it in savings for the future and you live on 80%. This is a fantastic way to do. I will completely admit I am not there yet because other reasons we can talk about another time, but it is something that I've tried to teach my kids, for example. So every time they get money, they put 10% of whatever they get, whether it's 10 cents or a dollar or whatever it might be, and they put it in a thing and they give it away. They take another 10% and they save it. It goes in the bank. They can't touch it. And then 80%, you do whatever you want to because it's your money. But that's what John and Jane Doe do. Now, we get a little bit more complicated once we hit the mortgage because life gets complicated when you're an adult. So what they have is a $1,400 mortgage due on the first. So what they do is every week they take 1/4 of that, which is $350, and put it aside in a category for the mortgage. Because then they don't have to worry about what check is coming. You do that 4 weeks. By the time it's there, you have $1,400. You write the check. You have it auto-debited. You pay it online. Whatever way you do your work, that's what it does. They don't have to worry about the money coming in. It's there. Same with NIPSCO. They have an average of a $200 a month bill, either on the budget plan or because they follow it through the year. So $50 a week goes to that. Same with for around here, Cedar Lake Utilities or whoever, if you have to pay for your water and sewer, theirs is $96 a month, so $25 a week goes to that and that gets written when it's due. Next screen for those of you watching online and continuing down the page, groceries, because you got to eat. Well, I don't have to because I've already done that way too much, but we still like to, so we have to budget every week for that. So $150 every week goes for their groceries, toiletries, anything to that extent. Gasoline for their car is $40 a week that they set aside to have to be able to get back and forth to work. $25 for automobile, that can be oil changes, tire rotations, anything like that, or building up a nest egg for repairs. Anything would fall into that category. Car insurance is a little bit more complicated because they do it every 6 months, not every month. So their bill every 6 months is $480. So you take 6 months times 4 weeks is 24 weeks, and that's $20 a week that they're going to put aside. And once that bill comes due, it's not, where do we get $480 from because I'm not ready for that? It's, no, it's already there. It's been budgeted and set aside for that. Same with life insurance. We'll continue to the next page, next screen, health insurance, your cell phone, all these things that are, you take any of your bills, divide it by four, and put one-fourth aside every week, and that means that you don't have to worry about it when the bill comes due. It's already there. Maintenance is another category they just set aside to build up, to take care of things around the house, anything like that. Entertainment is kind of a bucket category, because you might have Comcast or DirecTV, your Dish Network, or Hulu or Disney Plus or any of those things that you used to get all in one and it was cheap and then it got expensive, so we decided to cut that out and buy them separately, and now we spend the same amount on streaming as we did on the cable that we cut anyway. However that works out for you, that's what they do. It's, they spend $155 a month, so they put $40 aside a week. This, I may lose you some, so hang on. Vacation, $20 a week. That's not much. Over a year, that saves you just about $1,000, and it's hard to do any kind of meaningful vacation on $1,000. So especially free spirits, because some of us nerds will just stay home because party. But if you're a free spirit and you're like, that's not enough, I understand, we'll get to that in a second, but just for now, they're at least putting some aside. And then the last screen I have, the last two on your paper that you have here, is pocket money for Jane and John. They give themselves each $25 to spend. That's for whatever they want to do, so that's one run to Starbucks, probably. I don't know, I don't go there. That's two trips to McDonald's, which is more down my alley, or feeding your Coke Zero addiction, which we've helped you with this morning by passing it around. Whatever it is, that's what that money's for. Now, before you flip the page over, I'm going to talk to you about a couple things, so don't get too far ahead of me. All of that that we just went through, that was $1,200 gone. And you may be sitting and saying, they had that much money and all they've got is $25 each in their wallet. What fun is that? Well, we can all admit, no matter what you make, whatever you make isn't what it used to be. And for this couple, $78,000 a year goes fast, real fast. And I'll give you the bad news, too. They don't have any surplus money built up. They don't have a car payment right now, and they don't have any money being set aside for a car payment. They don't have date money as a couple. They don't have money for birthdays or for Christmas or anything like that. But there's some good news, because even though I was homeschooled, I know that 4 weeks times 12 months is 48 weeks, and there's 52 weeks in a year. If you're following me, just nod your head because it's a Sunday morning. I got a three. Nod your head, please, online, please. Thank you. Or a thumbs up in the comment, whatever you want to do. There's 52 weeks in a year, so where does all that extra money go? Well, four times a year, if you get paid, for example, on Friday, four times a year there will be five Fridays in a month. And because you've set aside the money in four chunks, anything that you look on that sheet that I gave you, or anything that you saw on the screen that's a monthly bill, that money is now free money because you've already set aside all the money you need for your mortgage. That $350 for, in our example, is money that can go toward your vacation fund, extra money for a car payment, to build up for a car payment or to buy a new car when it's time. Anything like that you get. Now, if you, there are other ways to do it. If you get paid twice a month, you can do a similar thing and you'll get two of those extra per year. If you get paid on the 1st and 15th every month, you've got to do it a little bit differently, but it's there. Again, we just don't have time to get into it on that. But that's some good news. You've got some extra money there. If you get a tax refund or like this year, a stimulus check, none of that has to go to bills because you've already paid your bills. Any bonuses you get at work, any overtime, all that is extra money that then you can put towards something else to build up whatever you want to. Plus, in their situation, they've lived on wise principles. They are being generous and following God's commands, so they get to invite God into their finances and say, God, we're doing what you asked us to do, and we're being wise, and we're going to ask you to bless it because we're doing what you told us to do. And we all know that when God gets involved, he goes a lot farther and does a lot better than we could do it on our own. Plus, they're saving. 10% went away really fast, but it's in savings. So if something happens, they have some money set aside to do something with this. So Deep breath, especially our free spirit friends, take a deep breath. We're over halfway done. And that's good news, but I do have bad news. This whole plan, everything that we just went over, doesn't work. Unless you do the work. None of it works unless you do the work. It's a great plan. I love it. But if you don't do the work, it doesn't work. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you a story. I want you to each think of what your normal Thanksgiving holiday is like. Not COVID, because it's crazy. But last year's Thanksgiving or a normal Thanksgiving, whatever it is, I want you to think about that in your mind. Because for my family, it's going to my wife's brother and my in-law's house in Beecher. And we go over there and we eat and watch football and sleep and then eat and watch football and sleep and some category of that all through the day, and it's magnificent. It's a wonderful day. That's normal. And then at some point you bring out that whole big bundle of newspaper that has all the ads, and you find all that stuff that you didn't need the day before Thanksgiving, but now you need because it's cheaper. And so you go through all those things and you start figuring out what you want. And I love Black Friday shopping online because there are no people, there's no crowds, you just do what you want to do and you get it. There's no fighting people for the last TV, any of that. But some of y'all crazy. Some of my family's crazy. And so we were there and we decided, my wife decided that we were going to go Black Friday shopping. So we had to leave earlier than normal because they were going somewhere, so we didn't have leftovers, we didn't have dinner, and we were going to go out Black Friday shopping. So we're across the street from South Lake Mall, and we're waiting for the store to open, and we do what any normal, sane person would do on Thanksgiving night if you don't have food. You go to McDonald's, because of course McDonald's is open on Thanksgiving. And so we decided to go there, and we had the kids in the back seat because we were still at that magical age where you can go to a store with them, buy them things, and they don't realize that you bought them, and that is about 30 seconds. So parents, if you're at that stage, savor it. It's amazing. So we decide we're going to go shopping, so we place our order, and we pull around, and Tiffany's driving, my wife. We get to the window. They open the window. She hands them the debit card, and we're waiting for our food. So the cashier comes back, opens the window, hands her back her debit card, and says, okay, your balance is $2 and change. That's not the way it's supposed to work. We didn't give you a gift card. We gave you a debit card. A debit card, for your information, is tied to all the money that I have in my checking account, which is enough to pay for this $12 meal at McDonald's. What did you do wrong? And panic sets. Panic sets in hard. So we're scrounging for cash, and we pay the bill. And as we're pulling out, and she's driving, and I'm freaking, I pull out my phone, and I pull up my bank app, and I look, and it says, available balance, $0.00. It was gone. Now, what would you do? Figure that somebody hacked your account and took most and only left you a little bit to give themselves, well, somebody did hack my account. It was me. Because I'm a nerd, and I know how to budget. I've been doing this for years. I did it as a kid. I did it in college. I helped my roommates. I helped my coworkers do budgets. I've helped friends do budgets. I know this stuff. I do money at the church to keep track of all this stuff. And I know how to budget, and I had $0.00. Because I stopped doing the work. Because I knew how much I got paid, and I knew how much needed to go in every spot, including the vacation that we were saving up to go in about 8 months. All that extra money was supposed to be there, and it wasn't. Now, in my defense, I wasn't broke. I had two paychecks in my wallet that my boss had given me because he was out of town, but I had enough in the bank. Why do I need to cash these? It's right before Thanksgiving. I'll do it afterwards. That's a horrible feeling. It's not just a horrible feeling to not have money. It's a horrible feeling to look in the eyes of the person that you love and say, I done messed up bad. If you have not had that feeling, don't go there, because you don't want that feeling. Because I didn't do the work. Because I fell into that problem. If there's money in the bank, there's money to spend, right? Because it's in the bank. If it wasn't in the bank, it must be there to spend. But I stopped recording everything that I spent and realizing what I did. I stopped doing the work. And it doesn't work unless you do the work. So all this great plan, and let me illustrate it in this way. Back to our example couple, John and Jane Doe. We're going to look, if you want to flip to the other side of the paper, we're going to look at their bank balance. Right now, in their bank account, they have $4,591. And most of us are sitting and saying, nicely done. Why are you worried about budgeting? You have just under $5,000. Go party. Forget your vacation $20 a week fund. Go party. You got money. Well, here's the thing. If you look down as we go through, the first line that we have is surplus. And what Jane and John Doe work on is a $2,000 surplus. It's their cushion. Because we've all had those illustrations where it happens, and your bill was due on this day. It always comes out on the 15th, and they took it out on the 13th because it was a holiday, and they didn't want to wait for the holiday. They wanted their money now. Or your check or your direct deposit got delayed. Whatever it is, and they've got a $1,400 mortgage. What if that comes out earlier than it's supposed to? So for them, if they have $2,000 in the bank, they have zero because that's their cushion. They've already done their giving. In their mortgage account, they have $1,050 because it's 3 weeks into the month for them. And they're due their mortgage after one more check. That money's gone. NIPSCO has some money. There's a couple that are zeroed out because those bills are paid or they spent all their money on groceries. They've only got $10 left for gas to get back and forth to work. Next screen, they have some money set aside for things for their car. Their car insurance isn't due yet, but they've got $320 of it. They're going to need $480 at some point, so they've got to be ready. Life insurance is due. Health insurance almost due. Their cell phone bill's only halfway paid. They have some money set aside for when that thing goes wrong at home, because something always goes wrong at home. They have money set aside to be able to pay their Comcast bill or whatever it is. Next screen. They have $320 in vacation. That's how fast, like we saw earlier, how fast $1,200 goes. That's how fast $4,600 goes. They don't have much margin at all. That's why budgeting is important. Because if you don't do all this work of not just paying attention to what you need to spend, but also making sure that you put your money and label it where it goes. When you go to the grocery store, you write down and you put it in your grocery category and you take it off so you know how much you're spending. So you just don't make 14 trips to Stracks at $16 a piece and wonder where all your grocery money went. It went little by little and you didn't catch it because in your mind, you're like, I have $150 for groceries. I didn't spend $115, I spent $16. But you spent $14 yesterday and $17 the day before that and it just creeps up on you and you get in trouble. We're done through another list of numbers. Take a deep breath in. Breathe out. Thank you so much for hanging with us. We're almost done. So, like I told you, today is the practical day. This is not just what to do, but how to do it. So we're going to give you some tools, some ideas for you to use on how to keep this. These are just ideas. I know especially if you're a nerd, we can, a couple of us nerds in between the services had the conversation about how we do things differently, and we enjoy it. But I'm going to give you some tools. Most of these have some cost involved. I'm not going to lie to you. There are some free tools I'll tell you about at the end. They're not really fancy, but they're free, so take that as it is. The first one I'll mention is QuickBooks. This is going to be a very expensive one, but if somehow you happen to have a copy of it or find an older one that'll work for you, here at the church, I use about a 6 or 7 year old one because it's expensive to upgrade, and I don't want to pay the money because it does what I need it to do. This is a great tool. You can set it up. A lot of businesses use it. I know some people that use it for their personal finances and can do that. It's not a cheap option, but if you have it, it can be set up well. Every dollar. If you're a fan of Dave Ramsey, you've probably heard of this. This is what their team put together. It follows a slightly different budgeting system than what we talked about today, but it's a great plan. A lot of people have success with it. You can find that online. I think there's a free version, but also a paid version. A lot of these will have extra features. If you want to have your transactions auto-imported, you can do that. Insert advertisement here. Next one. Good Budget. I love this program. This is what I use. It's available on the web, and it's available on the phone. This is $50 a year. Why do I know that? Because I pay $50 a year for this. Within a week after the whole McDonald's Thanksgiving incident, I found $50 somewhere in my budget to buy this. And to show you my nerd bona fides, I have an envelope you can kind of see over here the envelopes there. I have an envelope that I put $1 a week in every week of the year, because when it's due, I'm paying the $50 for this, because it's that much, it's an investment. Any of these tools, if it helps you do the work, it's not a cost, it's an investment. This, doing this and actually doing the work, we went from, I'll tell the good part because it's a lot more fun than the bad part of my story. We went from the $0 on Thanksgiving to, by June, going on our Disney trip that we were, had been saving for, cash, and paid for it ahead of time. No debt, because we got in the system and did it. It's an investment if you'll do it. End of commercial. Next one. YNAB, you need a budget. I know of a couple people here in church. They use this. They love it. They are reps for it in the non-paid, wish they were paid by them, but they have great success. This is something to look at. Now, all the ones that I've said, they cost money unless you already have them. Again, I would consider it an investment. If you have the money to do it, find a tool. I know for most of us, we don't want a computer tool. We need a phone tool, because it's there. It's always with us. We can put the transactions in right as they happen. It's always there because we need to see it. We're not going to sit down and take the time to boot up a computer and do it. But any of those tools, they are going to cost money. If you don't have money to spend, here's a couple things. If you have a computer, a Windows computer that has Excel, if you have a Mac, it would have numbers. Some of your phones will have these kind of things built in. It's more work because it's not designed for it. But we can do that. You can set it up and do it. It's free if you have it, or you can get it. You can do ledger paper. This is what I did in college. I was that weird. I went out and I bought a $3 stack of ledger paper, and I would do all my categories in that, and it's a ton of work, but you can do it. And it's a lot cheaper than some of these other things. You can do it even if you have regular paper, a pencil or a pen, and a ruler to help you draw straight lines, because unless you're gifted more than I am, because I can't draw straight lines, do something. Because whatever you need to do something. Because otherwise, I'm afraid you're going to end up at a drive-thru somewhere searching for cash to pay the last $2 of your McDonald's bill. And that's not fun. Don't do that, please, because it's a really cool story in retrospect. It is a horrible, horrible story to live through. Because I know it hurts. It hurts to see what shape your money's in sometimes. Because you look at it, and it doesn't go far enough. It doesn't come fast enough. And everybody wants some of it. But it hurts a lot less to look at it and do the work than it does when it comes face to face with you and you can't escape it. That's when it hurts really bad. So, you can put the paper away. We made it. Whew. Thank you. I know it's not, we didn't use a ton of verses. What we just did, though, is extremely, extremely biblical and spiritual. It's knowing where everything goes. Your Father wants you to be okay. He really does. If you're at the spot where you've got it covered, I would love to talk to you about it, because I love ideas. I love hearing what systems you use, how you budget, because I can nerd on this stuff. Let's talk. Let's have fun, because it's awesome, and it motivates me. Nothing motivates me like talking to other people about money, because I've realize what I need to do and can do better. If you're sitting and saying, I've got it, thank you, you were boring, I have 42 ways why your presentation could have been better and how you could better budget, please tell me. I want to listen. But don't just pass it on to me. Find somebody that you can invest in, because so many people are struggling and we want to help people. That's why we take time to talk about stuff like that, because we want to help people. I want to see people succeed. I don't want you to feel the pressure of the relationship stress that is money, if we can help you do that. If you need help, come talk to me. I'd be happy to help you. Talk to Arlen when he gets back from his trip. He'll help. I know so many people that he's counseled and helped them set up their money and run it. We've done Dave Ramsey courses. We can get you set up with one of those. There are so many things. There's help, because we want you to have the help that you need, no matter what. Thanks again for making through it. Next week, we're going to finish our series, and it will not be like this. So you got through the hard, practical stuff. But if you're sitting and saying, I don't feel like I have enough margin to do some of the stuff that you showed, some of the stuff you talked about, be here next week, either in person or joining us online like you are today. We're going to talk about some ways to get more margin in your life, He talked in week one that we're going to talk about debt for a little bit. The debt plan that we're going to talk about is fantastic. It has done a major change in my family's finances, what we have been able to do. We can see the light at the tunnel, and it's big enough to know it's not a train. So it's good, and you want to get that if you can. In other ways, you can get margin.